Yesterday afternoon, I was chanting my rounds in the hallway of the temple room here in Budapest, because it's very long. It's a good place to chant, and we have new pictures up on the wall. Finally, all of the Dash avatars, 10 pictures, are up along the walls, and I was standing in front of Lord Matsya and Kurma yesterday, and just meditating on the size that the Lord takes. I think that they're something like 800,000 miles and 8 million miles long. They're enormous forms of the Lord, what to speak of Lord Varaha, who takes up half of the universe. And obviously when such figures come into the minds of academics, non-believers, people who study Srimad Bhagavatam without devotional qualification, they immediately just categorize this as being fiction. The common terminology that comes up is this is just all mythology. Obviously, there's no such thing as an 8 million mile large fish. What to speak of an 8 million mile large fish that speaks philosophy and protects a boat? This is an allegory at best. And obviously, the historical event that it represents must be as far-fetched as the size of the fish. And for those who have faith in these things, believers, well, obviously you can believe in anything, but the reality of scientific evidence shows that there can be no such thing. And in that way, the entirety of Srimad Bhagavatam is just relegated to some kind of ancient literature or medieval literature, which is fictional in nature and not historical. And why is that? Because scientists have the faith that it's so. Non-devotees have the faith that it's so. Whereas they're accusing devotees of accepting Srimad Bhagavatam on the basis of faith, such scientists and non-devotees reject Srimad Bhagavatam on the basis of another type of faith. That faith is that if I don't have experience with it, if I haven't seen a fish that's of such dimensions, then it can't exist. But why can't it exist? Is my experience the whole limit of reality, or is my experience just a certain perspective of what exists in reality? So the argument to say that I don't believe in something because I haven't seen it and I don't have experience with it is as much a faith-based argument as the faith of a Vaishnav who has faith in the authenticity of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in its veracity as the absolute truth. But we should then examine who is actually more reasonable in his investment of faith, the devotee or the non-devotee. People will say that, well, obviously these stories indicate that this is just some fiction dreamt up of by primitive people who have some necessity of believing in such extraordinary events in deifying perhaps some large fish that they've seen because they had no other way of explaining it. And that argument would have good evidence, or it would have more backing if actually these stories were dreamt up of by primitive people, if their language was really something very, very basic and archaic, excuse me, not archaic, but very simple. If their way of thinking and the culture in which they lived really proved that they were primitive. But unfortunately, this isn't what Srimad Bhagavatam is. Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken by highly advanced intellectuals. The logic and philosophy, the theology of Srimad Bhagavatam is extremely advanced, extremely demanding. In fact, just in terms of its rules and regulations, it's beyond the practice of most religions of the modern age, isn't it? Celibacy, complete lifelong celibacy like Shukadeva Goswami, abstinence from meat, complete renunciation of all worldly activities, and what to speak of the language of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not the language of some primitives. It's an extremely complex language that even linguists nowadays accept to be the mother of languages. Very, very difficult to learn. A language that represents a advanced culture, because the quality of a language represents the quality of a culture. It's also backed up by the thinking and the social structure that Srimad Bhagavatam actually refers to. And since Bhagavatam itself has such a elevated sense of integrity, since its speakers themselves are described as being perfected souls, souls who are beyond the defects of conditioned souls, souls who live a life of austerity, simplicity, purity. Therefore, the indication would be that what they say can't then necessarily be just a fabrication of their own minds. For that to be so, it would go against the entire purpose, the momentum and theme of Srimad Bhagavatam and of the speakers of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it's actually more logical and it's more substantial to have faith that the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam, including that of extraordinarily gigantic fish and turtles and boars and half-man and half-lion, actually be real, because that is consistent with everything else that Srimad Bhagavatam stands for, its language, its culture, and even the tradition which it represents to the very day. That tradition that I'm speaking about is the tradition of parampara. Parampara means that we have witness to events that happened in historical time back when Maharaj Satravata personally saw the Matsya avatar. And from there is a system of parampara where one spiritually perfect person to another transmitted that same information. In fact, what we have is a unbroken chain of witnesses to a historical event, and we have people of the highest level of integrity who are actually bearing witness to historical events. What to speak of a literature which also backs this up. So why is this not evidence? Why is not Srimad Bhagavatam a historical event? Just because it talks about things which is outside the realm of our present day experience. But so was flying an airplane, so was going to other planets, so was containing all of the literature in the world on a microchip. All of these things were incomprehensible to people 100 years ago and even impossible to conceive of in the future, but they're happening right now. Therefore, Vaishnava's faith in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is a reasonable faith. It's a strong faith. It's a substantiated faith, as opposed to the faith that says, oh, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. This is just some kind of mythology. This is the blind faith of fundamentalists, empiricist fundamentalists, people who are unreasonable, who are not open to logic and reason, Because they have a whole different approach to life. Their approach to life is aroha panta, is sensual perception, whereas all approach to life is avaroha panta, accepting knowledge, all types of knowledge, from perfect authorities. So this type of faith in Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the faith of Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada inculcated this type of faith in us, the fact that we can't understand certain statements of the Bhagavatam, the fact that we can't realize even some parts of its theology, its philosophy, the cosmology that it speaks about, or even the historical events, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for the devotee, because a devotee accepts that Bhagavatam is the standard, and the speaker of the Bhagavatam is the standard, not his imperfect mind and senses. So, faith in Srimad Bhagavatam is our greatest asset, and it's what ultimately takes us to Krishna. We can't be eclectics, saying that, well, I'll take a little of the Bhagavatam and a little of this because I accept this, but some other things I will not accept. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. So we can't say that, yes, I like Krishna's feet, but I don't like his little finger. I think that his left arm is very nice, but his right arm is false. No, everything about Krishna is perfect. Anganiya sasakalendriya vrittimanti. And similarly, everything about Srimad Bhagavatam is perfect. Every shloka, every word, every chapter, every canto. And by this faith in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotees become ultimately qualified to see Krishna. Sajjari diyavarujate atakritibishushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushushush such great faith in Srimad Bhagavatam, and they know that by regularly hearing and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, then all of the impure things within the heart will be revealed, and the knowledge that's in Srimad Bhagavatam, or I think I said revealed, no, the impure things in the heart will be destroyed. And all of the knowledge which is present within Srimad Bhagavatam in due course of time will become fully manifest within the heart. Tene Brahma Vidya. And we will know how it is that Lord Matsya is so huge, and we'll be able to directly perceive the Lord by Premanjana Charita. And all that comes by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatam Shloki Bhakti Bhavati Nashtaki.